Hello, hello. This is Outside the Echo Chamber, a weekly podcast hosted by I Dream of Inley. We are your friendly indie reviewing animals. We have silent signs as what are your cat? Space
I'm cat.
Yes, space cat. And we have Legend of the Star as beach panda.
Yes, I'm vacationing right now. I'm in the tropics.
Thank you for joining us. I know this must be difficult for you, looking real beautiful in the background and obviously from space. I don't know how you're doing at Silent Signs, but you're a real trooper.
I think that's just, what's it called? The Northern Lights.
Oh, Northern Lights. Okay.
There's some trees. Either that or we've discovered like...
Oh yeah, there's some trees. You're right. Both of you in beautiful scenic places. So I Dream of Indie is our YouTube channel, and we're dedicated to reviewing and bringing greater exposure to amazing indie games. Whether you are an indie warrior or a new listener, thank you and join us in our discussion of the indie gaming world. Hello, hello. All right. Before we talk about the stories and all that, I don't know why it's post is number two here. Let's talk about our week. So hello, what have we done this week? How's it been?
Well, today I learned that you can do this, so everything is infinitely better now. Oh my god, you can stick out your little tongue?
Yes!
That's so wholesome.
See, if it was avatars like this at the doctor, you know, and they tell you stick out your tongue as a child, they would very willingly do it. They'd be like, look at my bunny tongue.
I think I'd be more inclined to, actually.
Yeah.
Like my little mouth. Ooh. So little.
Oh.
I had a slightly stressful week. I think just being cooped up in the house and with like the weather and stuff, it's been a little stressful. Been a little stressful. But we finally got our key fob today, so we can start going to the pool now.
I saw your tweets.
Oh yeah. Yeah. When you have to like tweet at your HOA, that's bad. But it got the job done. And that was like the most important. Like there's still like other minor things that have to be figured out. But the pool key was like the main thing because it's right behind our house. It's literally right behind our, like we can hear everyone splashing. It's so sad.
Aww.
But they figured it out today and now we have them. So of course, pool day tomorrow. The girls are already bugging me about it.
Yay! That's awesome. Pool day. I need to schedule a pool beach day.
Same.
This week, have I done anything of note? Wow, my life is so boring. I mean, I've played a lot of games. Oh, I finished a K-drama. I have a friend who's really into K-dramas, and she's like, watch this one. It's called Extraordinary You. And if you've ever read like romance manga before, it's like that turned into a show. Like really just like, oh my god, it's the cool guys at the school, except they become aware that they're fictional characters in a story, and then the existential crisis hits.
Ooh. My friend is a very big fan of K-dramas, and I will have to ask her. Oh, Knox. Knox is a very big fan of K-dramas, or at least was, so I'll definitely have to ask her if she partook in that particular one.
I'll have to ask my mom. My mom is hard deep into it.
Ooh.
She got the Viki app on her phone. I've watched a few. I like period pieces myself because I love the costumes.
Oh yeah.
I don't really do a lot of the romance stuff, but I do some of the mysteries. It's so cathartic because when you watch them, especially like the emotional parts, like the men, like it's nothing like American actors, I would have to say, like they really go all like snot running down their faces and the crying and the tears, and then you end up crying, of course, because you know that's how it works. And
yeah.
I always feel better afterwards, you know. So it's like a good stress relief.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But I love the period pieces; those are my favorite. My mom's obsessed. Like she's mad right now because this one drama she's been waiting for, they don't have the English subtitles yet.
Oh,
she's like been really angry about it.
I understand that. I'm not much into the historical ones, although there's one I like that's the period pieces that has like the costuming Mr. Queen, which
that's really good actually.
Yeah, but if not, really I'm just a whore for a romance. But yeah, so okay, so that was our week. Let me go back and see. Next, let's talk about the ways that you can support I Dream of Indie. So, dear listener, if you like what you're hearing, there's more of that on our YouTube channel, I Dream of Indie Games. We have reviews up every week and live streams twice a week with the lovely Legend of the Star here. You'll only know once you've subscribed and given that notification bell a beautiful little love tap. Just type I Dream of Indie Games into YouTube and you'll find your way there. Now, do you love gaming but find your pockets a bit light? Then I suggest visiting Fanatical, an online video game store we're partnered with. They have amazing deals every single week, and we often highlight those deals. Actually, we do every Thursday, right? We mention in the community post.
Yep.
Yes. So another reason to stay current with us.
I lied. It's every Tuesday, but we do have a community post every Thursday as well.
Ah, okay. That was my confusion. So every Tuesday, find out where some great deals on Fanatical. Thursday, take a look at that community post, which we'll talk about later. Be sure to use our link, which you'll find in the description of this podcast, hopefully. And if not, you will find it on YouTube in the description of every video, in the community post, everywhere we are writing. That link is there. Highly recommend. I think I picked up like 6 games last week and it all cost me like less than $25, which is insane. So take advantage of that. Now, whether it's our incredible Discord community, emotes, exclusive shows, or undying love, these are just some of the many perks if you become a channel member for I Dream of Indie. Flex on all your friends and family that you are a patron of the arts. Join us and you can become an indie warrior or an indie legend yourself. They're at 2 different tiers, whatever works for you. Now, let's say you can't become an indie warrior, indie legend, but you want a snazzy piece of merch to make your friends, lure friends over to you. If you're the introvert I'm thinking about myself, you wear like a piece of a shirt or a backpack that's like of a show or a book you like and hope that people will pick you up and adopt you as a friend.
I do that all the time and it never works, but maybe I'm just wearing the wrong things.
Sometimes it works, I get it, but in this case you can do it with I Dream of Indie merch. We've got hoodies, tees, mugs, and some with our retro indie logo. Visit I Dream of Indie store on Bonfire and see which piece speaks to you. And if you use the code IDOI20, you'll save 10% off your order. All right. Next up, social media. Did you know we are there? We have special reels and videos that you'll only see. Tweet at us at iDreamOfIndie or give us a follow on Instagram at iDreamOfIndieOfficial. And last two, I'll pass it off to you.
You betcha. Well, if you are watching this podcast, that means you are already an indie legend. So thank you. But if you are listening to this podcast and you can't see how insane we look right now, well, have I the solution for you? You can become an indie legend, but also we are available on anchor.fm or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you prefer taking us on the go, which I get it. And also coffee is an option. And I don't mean the delicious beverage that gets me out of bed every morning. I mean the fact that you can donate to us on Ko-fi. You can make a one-time donation, support the channel. However you decide to support us, we greatly appreciate it. Also, I am Kat.
I think we have covered all of the major things beautifully. Excellent. Now, next we have question of the day. Do you have a hard time walking away from a game that you have paid full price for if it isn't clicking with you? Thoughts?
Yes. I feel like I'm wasting my money if I don't at least try really, really, really hard to like it.
I get you there. That happened with me with and there'll be people be like, what, you don't like this game? With Ni No Kuni.
Ah, yes.
I got it because I was like, the Ghibli visuals, so beautiful. I love. And once I started playing it, I was like, oh, you're not for me. This is not my kind of game. A bit too slow.
Mm. I could see that. My biggest disappointment, I think I've talked about this a million times now, but Crash Team Racing, the remake that they did. Crash Team Racing is one of my favorite games ever. Definitely my favorite kart racing game ever, but the new one just sucked and I couldn't get good. I am like a master of the original game. Like nobody can beat me. That is a threat and I will try to beat you if you ask me. But I couldn't do it in the new one. Like the controls felt weird and I was so disappointed, but I tried so hard for so long to get it to like click with me and it just never did.
You gave it the good try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate paying full price for games, period. That's one of the reasons why I love indie games so much, because it's so much more affordable.
Yep.
Especially when you use the Fanatical link, right? You get that like extra discount, which is even nice, and they have really great sales on there too. I hate it. I really did. I play a AA game, and I talk about this a lot on my channel. It's Monster Hunter Stories 2, right? The Wings of Ruin. I love that game. It's so much more in depth than I thought it would be. And the only reason I started playing it was because there was a demo. But the game was like $60. And I was like, I'm not paying for it. I'm not. Because even if I like the demo, like who's to say I'm going to like the entire gameplay of it, you know? So, you know, thankfully it was gifted to me, but I will not spend $60 on a game anymore because I feel like I'm just getting a game for six. Like if you're going to give me incentives, like on Kickstarter, they give you, you know, I can pay $60 and get like a plushie or something, or at least a hard copy. And it's just so, it's so ridiculous how they price games nowadays.
It is. Reminds me, I don't know if I'm too old, but do you guys remember demo discs?
Yes.
I mean, it was a little bit past me, but I still had, I had.
You had some. Well, I know, I don't remember. At this point, I have no idea where I talked about these things. I know I've talked about it before, but it was probably on something that nobody ever heard. But like the Pizza Hut demo discs that they used to give out, they had this like promotional deal where if you bought a pizza, you got like a demo disc, a bunch of PlayStation games, which is like how I discovered some of my favorite games. And I like looked up if I could buy those demo discs just to like have them, and they're like $40. And then I realized that was a horrible life mistake. But like, I wish that that was still a thing. Like, I know we get like Steam Next Fest now and stuff like that, but just having a physical thing where you could try out the game before you actually committed real life money to it was awesome.
I love demos. I love that. That's my favorite part about indie showcases and indie events. Of all the demos you get to try out, you know, it really, it sucks because you have to really get into, they don't advertise it as well as they should. I think those of us that are in the indie circles know about them more often than I think most people that are outside of that space. So that makes it a little crappy, but the amount of demos that they allow for even just a limited time is so cool. Like for the Steam Next Fest and the Guerrilla Collective, like I was able to try a bunch of games that I probably wouldn't purchase unless I tried the game out first, or at least wishlist it, you know. And I think it's a really missed opportunity when games of all industries don't allow people to just try out their game before they buy it. I mean, I'd be more willing to spend money on a game if I played a little bit of it first. Like, even if it turned out to be crappy, like, I'm still going to end up spending the money on it, you know, so you're not really losing anything. And, you know, the fact that you're able to drive traffic to your site because you have a demo available, I think is a really good way to also sort of promote your game and get your market out there.
I also love when you can transfer your save from the demo to the actual game.
Yes.
That is such a godsend.
Mm-hmm. I'm praying that happens to me with Legend. You have infected me with the love of demos from talking about it so much. So I downloaded a fuck ton, and then I played the other night. Was it time? Who even knows? I was playing, and I know we have as an article to talk about today, Potion Permit. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. The demo. I've already got almost 5 hours in that bitch. And I had to remind myself, like, this is a demo. Stop. You know, at some point the game's going to pause you. But not only was the demo, like, nice and girthy, but it was fun as hell.
I love those demos that you're just like, wait, am I playing the full game or is this like, is it going to stop? When is this happening? Because then you really get immersed into it and you're even more down by it. I do find that do you play a lot of demos? I do find that a lot of times it depends on the game itself, but sometimes it will transfer over. It's just sort of like an update that you end up getting when you do purchase a game. It varies on the game and the title, but sometimes you do get that crossover when you have played the demo, which is more of a continuation for it. So you never know. Maybe if you do, right? Once you do get those games, you might end up getting like your place you already of a post. I was curious about that game. You really liked it?
Oh, it's fucking great. It's like, it reminds me a lot of Stardew Valley, but obviously without the farming. It's got that social element, the graphics, the environments. Oh, absolutely gorgeous. The characters are really interesting. There's a lot already just from the demo I can see that you can improve upon, that to explore.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what the game is? And we'll just get into that now.
Oh, yes, of course. Let me pull it up. But essentially, like, you're part of like chemists doctor association. You're from the city and you're being sent to this town. I think it's like Moonbury. Let me see. Yeah, Moonbury.
Yeah, you're right, Moonbury.
You're at Moonbury and you're helping them because they're having some health issues. Specifically, it starts out with the mayor. The mayor's daughter has like this thing they haven't been able to find a solution for or a cure for. And the witch doctor hates you. And he's like, the chemists, they're not good. Remember the last time they were here and they hurt our town and one of our natural plants went extinct. You know, this whole drama about like what happened in the past when some chemist doctors from the capital came down to help. And you're just, eventually you're just like, all right, I'm staying here. I'm making my roots. I've got this clinic. I've got this shop and I'm here to gain the trust of everyone, build relationships. Hopefully I can date them because there's some cuties. And there's like a combat aspect where you go into like a meadow and there's all kinds of ingredients for you to gather. But also there's monsters and the monsters can drop ingredients that are useful as well. And then the last part I'll say is the actual making potions part, which is how you're curing everyone as the chemist. It's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. I know there's a word for it. It's like Tetris puzzle where each potion has a particular shape and your ingredients are different sizes and shapes. And you kind of want to pick the ingredients to match that and there can't be any overlap. So this yellow flower might give you 3 blocks in a row. And this shell of a beetle might give you kind of like a lightning bolt kind of shape. And you want to use things depending on the shape of the potion itself, how many ingredients you have. And you only have a limited amount that you can use at first because you need to upgrade your cauldron. So you also need to be very choosy about that. It can actually be kind of challenging.
That sounds super interesting. I had no idea what this was when I saw the story, but it definitely sounds like something.
I'm looking at the trailer now. It looks really cute. You have to use is it like patterns you have to do too?
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently there's going to be fishing. I couldn't do the fishing, but I saw the places for it. You have a dog. The dog is real fucking hungry. I got to say, I hope that's changed or food is more easy to get. Every 2 seconds, he's barking at me like food. I'm like, I don't have one myself.
I understand, dog. It's okay. I feel the same way.
Oh my God.
But that is Potion Permit. I am desperately waiting. I'm like, please fast forward to September, but also maybe not because I don't want to lose those parts of my life so quickly. But so let's talk about videos that were featured on I Dream of Indie.
I don't think we talked about, I do want to get into the Drunken Fist 2 Zombie Hangover review that Old Gamer Joe did. It sounded like he had a really good time playing it.
Oh God, that game.
I thought you could pee in it.
Yeah, well, it's exactly like the original one, which we covered like 2 years ago. But instead of just beating up regular ass people, you're beating up zombies. So that's Drunken Fist 2. You can pee and then people will slip in your pee. And then sometimes you slip in your own pee, which I mean, relatable. No, just kidding.
I mean, that's
those eyeballs, plausible. Man. You've done a lot of hard drugs.
Yeah, it's wild. But it's, I mean, it's a gimmick that like wears thin very fast. But if you're in for like 10 minutes of a good time, then it's fun.
Good to know. Not every game.
Yeah, it looks like a good game you can just kind of mess around in, but not take too seriously. You know, like gamer score, probably not something I would want to achieve on it, you know, but yeah. It does seem like a really good game just to casually kind of play.
It's also very glitchy. Like there is one point I thought he was being attacked by a zombie bird, but it was not a zombie bird. It was just the graphics glitching out. So.
Oh, damn. Well, you know, maybe this is a game that you need to be drunk to play in the spirit of the title.
That would help. I do think that would help.
All right, it's a good game. Let's talk about Jumanji.
Yeah, I also helped Knox play this one. It's based on the classic film with Robin Williams, except it's a board game with some turn-based and card elements to it. So you're rolling the dice as you would in Jumanji, and you go around this board, and essentially you have five locations. And if all of your locations get attacked by whatever's attacking them and you don't defeat it, then your game's over. So you have to basically defend these five locations. And you get new cards every time, and the cards do different things. So you get like axes and water guns and stuff like that. It's pretty fun. I'd say it's definitely more fun to play with other people. If you are sitting and playing alone, it's probably not the greatest time playing against the AI. But chatting with your friends and playing Jumanji in 2022 is a surprisingly fun time.
I did not get a chance to look at this review. This is, I think this one and one other I didn't get a chance, but I didn't think it would be good. I'm glad to hear it's fun.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not great. But if you're in the right setting, if you're playing with people who enjoy playing tabletop type games, then I think you could have a good time. But specifically under those conditions, if you're like sitting and playing alone on your Switch, I feel like you're gonna have a bad time.
Yeah, I can't imagine playing. Well, there are very few board games. There are some that are built to be single player, but when I think of board games, I always think of like with a team, with friends.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to have a board game and run it where it's solo. I mean, unless you like to collect that kind of stuff, I could see, but playing it, I don't know. Kind of like when we played Skeleton Crew, huh? It was a game that you could not, definitely had that board game style, that's for sure, when it came to art, but it was absolutely a game that you did not want to play by yourself. I mean, I floated as a ghost when I died for a while.
Yeah, and I was like, this is whatever. Not fun. And
before you were like struggling, it's a very hands-on like co-op play type of game for sure.
Part of me wants to download that and have us all get into it and see if we could at least get a third character to see what other characters are available.
Oh, I would be absolutely down. I mean, we would have to get through a bit of the glitch. It seems like when I was looking things, the bugs have to do specifically with the online multiplayer because it's still in beta. But considering how this game is made, and I feel like that should have been priority. Like, you know, I agree. Yeah. Like, I would not want to play this by myself.
It was not enjoyable, but I did not like the tutorial at all. I feel like this game has way too many buttons for the type of game that it is, you know?
Yep.
Like, I shouldn't have to use so many, hold down so much just to get dude to kick a rock. Although, I will have to say that was, like, the really, like, most fun part of the game is being able to pick up whatever you want.
And kick it.
Kick the living shit out of it and hit either a zombie with it or, I don't know, kill your partner when you're trying to defeat the zombies or you know, having to get that those angles are tricky. It's a fun game, but it does need a lot of work.
The pig was my favorite part of the game.
Yeah.
Like by a long time.
Alive for so long.
I tried my best. I wasn't a good pig, Mom.
I mean,
circumstances considered, you did your best. But
it became delicious.
Oh, yeah. Then it turned into a pork chop meat to help us. But I really hope that they do go back and work on that, because I can definitely see it, even despite the too complicated controls. Like, I could not for the life of me figure out which was the button to like cycle through your inventory, and then there's a separate one to then use it. Too many buttons. If any of that could be simplified a bit and definitely make the online multiplayer workable at the very least, have a shot.
It looks so fun though. Like sitting back and watching you play, it looked like fun. I could see it being overly complicated with too many controls, especially with the keyboard and mouse controls.
Keyboard and mouse was awful. It was awful. Right. It was so many weird ass, like the shift and the thing. And I'm like, yo, my fingers, I have little hands. I can't stretch that paw.
Yeah.
Keyboard. It was a lot of holding down things and bless you. It was a lot of holding. It was a mess on keyboard. But you are right, though. It was even with the glitches, it was still a lot of fun to play. So I really want to hold out hope that the devs, you know, continue to work on this. And like, you know, Literary Rose was saying, fix those minor, fix the multiplayer game play, you know, maybe less complicate the keys. That's even for controller, that was a little bit much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had the simple version playing it with controller. I cannot imagine what you went through on keyboard. I mean, I'm kind of watching your side now.
The left button, the right button, and you had to hold down the shift key and the control. I was like, what the fuck?
I remember the part with like the cabbages and you had to bring a sacrifice to the altar or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't figure out how to kick.
That was like, and then it kept coming. The zombie kept attacking me and it kept respawning. They respawned really fast in that one section of the tutorial. And I was like, yo, get the F away from me so I can at least like, I need some distance, you know, so that I can kick you. But it was like the S was to kick and W was, it was so, we had to like hold it down. And I'm like, yo, just hold fucking still. Because it kept like the zombies will start to pile up if you don't do it just right. Because you have to just knock the dude out with the swift kick to the face and then sacrifice himself to get that health. We were so close to reviving me though.
Oh god.
If we could
have revived you, but then it started, you know, then more bugs started to happen the festivities had to end.
It did. What about your Last Days of Lazarus? How did you like that game? You were talking a little bit about it in the Discord.
Oh, yes. So I guess I would say I was expecting something that the game didn't promise at first, but I quickly realized, like, I thought this was going to be horror.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it looks like a horror game. But it's more like an adventure game with a dark-ish tinge to it. And, like, there's some naked bodies. There's some mentions of, like, sex. You know, oh, everyone cover your eyes and ears. It's visually a beautiful game. It does not, like, for an indie game and, like, what it's trying to, what it did, being first-person adventure, exploring. There was so much to look at, so much to enjoy. There was a lot of detailed descriptions for different collectibles and items that you would acquire. There was a lot of love put into it, but I will caveat, I studied stories, so I'm a real picky bitch when it comes to them now. I can't enjoy many things, but I think even most people playing to be like, this story is a bit not good. It's so generic. It's like bad things are happening, religion is involved, insert terrible father figure here, The depictions of women. Ugh.
Woof.
Every female character, you know, existed to have a connection to a male character in some way. And they, you know, I think I said in the review, it was like the virgin, the whore, and the hag. Your mom's the hag, the virgin is your sister, and then the whore is the lady friend whose name I forget.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the whore is me. I am the whore. I am.
In real life, sure. But in this, in the game, I was Amon Lazarus.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. I didn't really put that together.
Yeah, no. I don't think it's 1,000% clear. I don't know. There was nothing compelling about the narrative. You know, when I think about like adventure games, horror-esque games, I'm thinking, what's the message you're trying to send at the end of this? What's the takeaway? And takeaway was your dad might be evil and made a pact with Satan? Run? Same. Question mark?
I mean...
So it was something. The puzzles were not hard. The parts that really pissed me off was I got stuck at certain points because there were these little objects that look like everything else. They blend in perfectly to the environment, but it's that one motherfucking object you had to pick up. Ugh. To progress, to enter the new scene, to move to the next area. And I was like, there was one part I was stuck. I was stuck. There was like this cool little hidden room inside of a mini chapel. Like you pull up, it was like a secret passage and shit. I was like, ooh, interesting. You go down, there's like an army computer. You got to set up like an attack or whatever. And I kept trying to, and it's like, you're missing something. I go back, I walk the snowy area with corpses. I walked that thing at least 20 minutes trying to find this ship until I was like, fuck this. And I went on YouTube and bless that person who put their gameplay up. Bless them.
Well,
thank you for enduring my rant.
Not exactly a glowing recommendation, but it did look pretty.
Yes,
it did.
If you're into
it,
that.
Looks pretty. And you're right, though. When it comes to narrative story type games, you need to have that takeaway because then you're like, what the fuck am I playing? Like, yeah. Deadly Premonition 2, for example.
Tell us about
that game. Okay, so overall, the gameplay isn't bad as far as like shooting things. Like, the controls are a little wonky, but it's an older remake. It's like a remake of an older game. So, you know, that I can put up with. But this little girl following me as an FBI agent, first of all, should not be helping me with this investigation, point blank period. Okay, it's a little weird. Like, this last scene I was playing last night on my channel, this woman was like literally cut up, and the girl's just, the kid's just there. Well, that's what this means, and everyone knows. And it's like, oh my God, the dialogue is so long, and I'm just like, I just want to fast forward through it so much. Because not only do I have this game, but then it flashbacks, you know, so then I become Frank. And I'm kind of understanding the story a little bit more. Obviously, it's kind of like a supernatural, whatever, really bad Constantine sort of spinoff. But it's like, oh my God, get to the freaking point. If the cutscenes were like normal cutscenes, it would be awesome. But then you have to stop and look at this. And then, you know what I realized too, if you guys go back and look at the VOD, that detective that I play, that Aaliyah, she looks just like Posh Spice. It dawned on me. I'm like, why does this girl look so freaking familiar? Like, I've seen her somewhere in another game and another what. And as I'm staring at her face, listening to her stupid monologue about how she, her inner monologue about how she's gonna ask Frank this question, she looks exactly like freaking Posh Spice. Exactly.
You're right. Like, I just looked at the picture.
Right, yeah. With the bob and the nose and the face. I'm like, why am I? So I became, like, that's how deep I got to the, I was like, yo, why does this girl, what the fuck is this face? And it was, she looks just like Posh Spice. But it just, it's so, the gameplay is great, but the dialogue, oh my God, it's so long. I feel like this normal cutscene, stop making me look around while you're talking. Like, I don't want to interrupt you. Like, continue on so we can get through this. Like, it's taken me so long to get to the actual meat of the game. It's so annoying. It's so annoying.
And yet you're still playing it.
I'm addicted to it because now I need to know what the F is going on. Danny had his arm eaten off by an alligator. And I finally met like the JR, the JJ Clement Clarkson person, like the evil dude, right? And they keep alluding to like this demon thing. And then Galena turned into like this demon baby. It was weird. It's weird. Okay.
It always comes back to demons. I'm telling
yeah.
You.
It's like, it's crazy. Cause it's one of those like bad films. You just cannot like, I must see this through. Like I need to know what happens next. I just can't stop like playing it. So I'm like, well, what weird thing's going to happen now? And he's like talking. And I love how he just talks to like his inner person out loud, but they're trying to meet up with each other. It's weird. It's weird as shit. It's so bizarre. But I, like I said, I can't stop. I can't freaking stop playing it because I'm so curious now as to what the hell is going on.
It's definitely got something working for it. Then it's got a like those earworm songs, you know?
Yes. I feel like it's just like a siren song. And it keeps making like bringing me back to it because I was like, should I play more of My Lovely Wife because I need to unlock the rest of these succubi, or yes, should I play? And for some reason, my mind was like, oh, let's play Deadly Premonition 2. You know? And I was like, okay. And I did. I beat the boss pretty easy. I think I like it because the shooting gameplay overall isn't too bad. But then it's like, I remember people talking in the chat about how, oh, the demons are coming and shadow people. And I'm just like, oh my God, can you get to it already? Like, that's what I'm looking for. I don't know why. I just keep thinking like the more I play it, maybe it'll get better. I don't know. I don't know. I'm so confused by it. But I really liked Neon White. I played that on the channel too. And that was a lot more fun than I thought it would be. I thought it would be more anime, but it's weird how it's like this precision. It's like a precision platformer, but also a narrative game.
But also with cards.
Well. Like, if you're not careful, you're totally going to get sick from this.
Yeah,
you really
definitely
are.
I was watching you play it and I was like, bless your heart, I could never do this.
Yeah, I was like, I kept thinking about you. I was like, girl, like, should you even be watching the stream right now? Like, I feel like I'm like, I bet you Silent's gonna vomit. Like,
it was actually fine watching it. And I think once you got used to the controls, it wasn't as bad, but like, those were like very zippy cameras. Like,
it is the way that it grasps the entire 3D environment is actually really cool. And the stupid cliche like violet neon all rubbing her butt up against his peen, like that was a little too much. I thought, like, you know, like I thought, sorry, I probably shouldn't have said that. Like, that was a little too much. It was like, really, you're gonna do this stupid trope, you know? Like, oh my gosh. But that was the one thing that I found really annoying. But the fact that you can,
but like, neon stop- red was so cool.
That was so, like, and then he got all blushy. But it was weird how it had, like, this comic book style art when it came to, like, the characters themselves. But the environment was very, very brilliantly, like, 3D rendered. Mm-hmm. I really like that. Yeah, and I'm a horrible driver when I play video games. I'm never one for driving. I always make King Dude or whoever else I'm playing do it. I'm horrible at driving. I can't play Decay 2. I'm so bad at driving. I crash the cars. They flip over. It's awful. So I was like, all right, let's just bad drive this thing. And it was pretty easy. Like, you just kind of float around and twin joystick, and the controls were really easy to understand. And it was weird how it was kind of like a combination of precision platformer, right? Roguelike game, deck builder, visual novel, story rich. It had like a whole bunch of things going for it. It was really, and a lot of people have already been, are already looking forward to the gameplay themselves because it has that anime type of style. So it'll be interesting once it does sort of get the run of the game and more people playing it, how people feel about it after that, because it really is not something that you, when you see the graphic, you would not expect it to be the type of game that it is.
It was, I didn't get to watch you play it live, but I watched it afterwards in the playlist, the archive. And it just looks really fucking fun. I wish if you ever stream this again, let me know. Would love to watch. I wouldn't be able to because of the motion sickness part. I feel like it would fuck me up too. But
What a stylized game. What a very interesting game.
It is. And the fact that he doesn't know who he is and he's so honest about it, like, look, bro, it's cool. You know me. I don't know who you are. And then they're just so, it reminds me of like K-dramas are kind of like that too. Yeah. People are so just like, oh, okay. Well, this is who I am. Blah, 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 blah. You know, they don't go into too much detail as how they know, but it seems like they know, they knew each other when they were alive.
Mm-hmm.
And they play as Neons, which are demons that heaven uses.
See, I told you, it always comes back to demons.
Always comes, like, what is, it's like this theme, right, lately? And you feel that? It's just like this theme, like, I don't know. Joe's on like this demon tangent.
He's on a demon kick.
Yeah, so they're demons who get to redeem themselves by hunting other demons that have infiltrated the gates, basically, and you're trying to prevent them from going any further. And it's sort of like a battle royale in a sense, because they're competing against one another to become the top dog. And like the green neon guy, he was pretty beefy scary. Like, he looked like he could whip some. Like, it was total anime type story, which was really good. I really found that part of it intriguing once it started to get into that as well. It was like, oh, okay, so it isn't just a game. It has so many different moving parts that work really well with it.
So you're redeeming demons?
Yeah. I'd watch. Well, luckily, Friday, I'm just racing. I don't think there's any demons involved, hopefully.
That you know of.
Right? Watch, there are going to be like demon photos or some type of like, dude, it's so funny. You can always tell like when a thing of games have come out all at once and they're generally the same genre. And Joe just kind of like picks through the list. Like, you can tell because there's always kind of like a theme with all like the live streams and the things. And it's funny. I'm always surprised by the games he provides. It's hilarious.
It's been very fun to watch you. And I have to add, you were absolutely killing it with that purple lipstick.
Ah, oh, thank you.
Yeah,
I agree.
What I'm trying to wear more like dark colors. Cause I love it when Silent Signs, when you wear that that like nude, that dark brown nude, it looks so good on you.
Thank you.
That lipstick that you wear. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna be like Silent Signs with dark lipstick.
That's fun. It feels like dark goth mode.
I like it. Nats look really good. Brown tones look really good on you.
Thank you. It's very
damn stupid. I need to get myself a dark lipstick to join your club.
You should, like, you have to be really careful, as you know, you have to really, I'm sure you're an artist, you know, but you have to really check like your undertones, like with reds don't always look good on me. If they have a blue base, it works, but if their base is like pinkish, I look awful. I think it's because of the yellow in my skin tone, but
gotta like always balance it out. Yeah, the cool tones are very nice. Yes. Mm-hmm. All the listeners, are you all female? Are you interested in lipstick?
Oh,
all right, the next one.
Redo.
Ah, yes. This was good game, not for me.
The game that confused them all.
Yeah, yes. The name is interesting, not really good for titles of YouTube videos. And also, I have to say, I remembered when I was writing my review of it and just like talking about it and stuff, I kept forgetting the name. I was like, what's his name? What's this game called again? I don't know if Redo was the best name for this. It doesn't even like match, I would say, the world, the atmosphere. The only thing it matches is that you're going to be fucking redoing areas over and over again as you get your ass handed to you.
Sounds like more of a redoubt.
Yeah, for me, no. The thing that the linchpin was the lack of a map. So it's basically a Metroidvania Souls-like. Metroidvania in the map style that's like winding paths. And when you get different items, like a stun gun, it lets you open this thing to then explore this new route. I love that shit. I'm into it. I'm ready. Add lack of map, so you want me to memorize the paths to different places and which ones did I visit and which ones do I need to go back to, and super I would say super challenging combat where you need to, each encounter can be a bit randomized because sometimes enemies will turn red and the red means extra strong. And then they're harder to beat down. It's a very good game. It's beautiful. It's got a great moon. I am full support of its existence. It just does not exist for me.
And that's okay.
Yep.
Yep.
But it's a very good game. I was a little bit disappointed because we talked about this one in the podcast. I think when it was the four of us, we were looking at it. I think we saw like a little piece of a trailer and it looked really cool. So I was kind of excited. And then once I got in, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, that is kind of a bummer when that happens. Like something looks good and sounds great on paper. And then you get into it and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I can't stand that when you're so excited to play it and you're looking forward to the gameplay because all of the trailers look so nice and you finally play and you're just like, what the fudge? What? Like it just, you know, it ends up not being your cup of tea.
Yeah, but that's just how it is. I'm pretty glad I'm no longer playing it. Just the difficulty was too much for me. Last video talk about, I'm so sorry, I have to blah 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 again, but we have I did the review for Steve Jackson Sorcery on the Switch.
Oh shit. Oh, I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, it's because I almost forgot about it too, and then when you, I saw it posted this
so long ago.
Yeah,
I saw it pop up. Joe's like, you got to remake the thumbnail because it doesn't even match the thumbnails we make anymore. And I was like, oh yeah, right.
Yeah, this is a good game. I really liked it. It frustrated me just a touch, not because of the game, but because I'm a perfectionist and I want to and a completionist. So when this game says you have lots of different routes, it's not fucking kidding. You're in this fantasy world based on a book series by Steve Jackson. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure. And I would say the developers did a fucking fantastic job of translating that into the game. Like there's a lot of text. So if you don't like reading, stay far away from this. But the writing is really strong. It's really engaging. There's this interesting plot in this fantasy world. Sort of the typical like magic power item has been stolen. You must retrieve, but your journey shall be challenging. And it's really fucking challenging. And there are so many ways you can approach an encounter. Like to give you an example, you're leaving a town and these two guys, bandits or whatever, are waiting outside for you and they're like, give us your money. And your options, right? You can try to reason with them. You can just straight up attack them. Or you can cast a spell. And sometimes you can do more than one. Like, let's say I tried reasoning with them and they're like, basically told me, no, bitch. And I was like, okay. But I didn't immediately jump into combat. I was giving a second option, which is, do you want to fight them or do you want to cast a spell? There's like 50 different spells. And I ended up doing, out of random chance, a spell called Jig. And they broke into dance, and that's how I evaded them.
Wow.
And I used Jig on every enemy I could. It didn't always work, but when it did, I loved it.
That's so, from what I was trying to understand about this game, so there was, it was like four parts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. It's divided into four parts. You can jump into any part at any time, but you know, then you won't be able to transfer over items like, okay, that you might have gotten in part one or part two. And
is it like one continuous story?
Yes.
Okay. So if you jump into four and you haven't played one through three, you're going to be SOL.
Yeah. You don't know what the fuck's going on. You don't got the gear necessary. You know, I'm not sure why
that is. That.
Yeah. I don't really understand why that option exists, but it's there.
I guess if you played it on like PC before, like the earlier games, and then you just wanted to play the fourth one now that you had it on Switch or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, I heard, because I mentioned it to a friend, he's like, oh, I played that on my phone. I was like, oh, this was a phone game. Interesting.
It's weird how phone games translate to PC. sometimes.
I think that phone games translate to the Switch the best because touchscreen.
Oh, that's right.
So, think of that. Fishing Paradiso, the touchscreen implementation in that game was so good because it was originally a phone game. Like, it makes total sense. It was perfectly set up that way because that's how it was originally set up.
That's actually I never would have thought of that. I don't play the Switch a lot. Well, I mean, I've got the Switch Lite. I don't play that often. That's usually kind of like the girls thing. I grab it every once in a while, but you're right. Mobile games would absolutely translate better on, because I have BlueStacks, that emulator, and it's not as, it's really janky, honestly. Like, if you have like the big fancy version, it's probably a little smoother, but I just use like for basic stuff for some mobile games just to kind of check it out. And yeah, I don't like it. The emulators are a little janky, but I could totally see how mobile games would translate so much better. That's actually a quite brilliant observation.
Only because I was playing that one game that was
so like, hey, it works though, so right? You play a game and you get the light bulb and you're just like, So that's when I was like, oh, she looks like Posh Spice. That was the light bulb moment for me. I was like, yo, why does she look? It's like pre nose job though. Like OG original. OG, allegedly she had one. I'm just saying, like, if she did, like, it would look like she did not have one.
I feel like most of Hollywood has.
Yeah.
One.
And Botox.
Mm-hmm.
And probably filler.
Probably like, filler. Filler and Botox are probably most popular.
No judgment. Live your best.
No, of course not.
That's what makes it feel good, but like, don't lie about it.
that's where I get the judgment, because like, I have, it's funny, it's not with me, but my mother, she's really into like looking at celebrities and look at Jennifer Lopez, doesn't she look so good for her age? I'm like, mother, that's because she has money. Yeah. This is not all natural. She is still human. We wrinkle and sag and die.
Yeah, we all do, sadly.
Sadly, yes.
I think legend.
So how do you guys feel about, what is this Ender Lily's Dev T's new project? Oh, you played that, Silent Science. You streamed that on the channel, didn't you?
I did like a million years ago.
I remember.
I remember it's like one of your like way back in the day live streams, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember it being a disaster, but the game is sick. It's really good.
And the soundtrack for this game is fantastic too.
Yes, I agree. But I don't know if the art style is anything like Ender Lily's. I am in, because I loved this. But let's just see.
Beautiful and ethereal looking Metroidvania Ender Lily's Quietus of the Nights turns one today. Oh, it's been one year since it's been out.
Oh, wow. It feels like so much longer ago, but.
Oh, and developer is going to make more of things.
Oh, so they shared a cryptic Twitter post celebrating the anniversary with a rather unusual picture included.
Oh, it's like a cipher.
Yeah.
Too big brain for me, but I'm glad it exists. It's like the ARG shit.
Yeah, right? But apparently fans have managed to decode it, and it says, Ender Lily's next project. Nice and simple. So they say.
Ooh, so more of Ender Lilies.
Yes.
Well, then that we can definitely expect more of the beautiful art and music.
That art was incredible. I think a lot of games maybe took some ideas from like that sort of stylized. I think I thought it was gorgeous. I've never played it myself. It seemed a little too hard.
Yeah, it was a little bit challenging, but it was also one of those games where like you didn't mind it being challenging, because first of all, it was so pretty to look at, and second of all, like, once you did succeed, you felt really good about yourself. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I know those moments.
Yeah,
I know. Sin Deadly Premonition, for example. No, when I finally like got out of the game, but I think it's really such an rewarding moment when you play something that's really hard and then you finally beat it and you're just like, know, I woohooed very loudly in the office because you just get so excited. so excited over your win. And I think you should always congratulate yourself for that.
I agree. Even the small accomplishments in life are deserving of celebration.
Absolutely. And now I need to remember to recommend Under Lilies. Now we're talking about it because it was a friend I meant to recommend this to. It is very, very good. The only thing against the Souls-like combat, but I think it all depends. Like, I know me and Legend, we both played Soldier. And, like, the combat's tough, but it's I think after a while, you kind of start to understand it, mm-hmm, get better at it. Like, whoop your ass forever.
Oh, yes. It's sort of like where you have to sort of strategize, but not really. You have to really be more aware of the map.
Yes.
You know, and that's what you were the one who actually taught me about Metroidvanias. I didn't realize that's what they do, is that it's a game that's based off of sort of map building and exploring, that type of gameplay. So I was like, oh, so now every time I see a Metroidvania, that always like reminds me of you like telling me that. So now I'm like more aware when I play these games, like, oh, okay, so then this is something where I only know a little bit of the map and I'll expand more on it as I journey deep into the dark recesses of the tunnels. Again, another game that involves angels and demons. Like, what the hell? But, you know, I'm excited for Bo Path of the Tea Lotus. Have you guys seen any of that art style? I think I posted it in the, like, Kickstarter a long time ago in the Discord. But the art style to this is really good. And it is going to be a Metroidvania. So it's really actually kind of cool how we sort of segued into this. But they say Star and Youngquist were originally working on the project alone, but now have been joined by reputable names who know a thing or two about Metroidvania genre. So you've got Milton Guasti, who was in, I'm probably pronouncing that name wrong, but Dr. M64, the level designer on Ori and Will of the Wisp, which is really cool. And then you've got Esteban Criado, Jude Force, ASMR's lead playtester and Metroidvania speedrunner, Robert Maloney. Oh, it says here he's the associate for Pokemon Symphonic Evolution. Well, howdy doody. That's incredible. This game looks so beautiful. And yes, it's not generally the type of game I normally play, but it has like that, the levels, the environments. I really enjoy sort of like that style of game. I'm really excited to see it when it comes out. I'm really hyped for it.
I had no idea this existed, and Okami is one of my all-time favorite games for that art style, for that Japanese history and lore, you know, influence. This looks amazing. Oh,
I love it. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I think Okami fans are really going to love this game. So I'm hoping it brings as many game players to the indie genre as possible. Because I think once you get a taste of a game that's this beautifully rendered and you realize, oh shit, it's an indie, you know, then I think that kind of gets people more interested and more intrigued in games that are in our specific wheelhouse, you know. So I'm really looking forward to this gameplay specifically. It looks like it's going to be keyboard, mouse, and controller compatible. You get to travel back to areas you thought you fully explored. So a lot of replayability there. You get to unlock powerful new abilities. There's power-ups and a large cast of bizarre and adorable yokai monsters from Japanese folklore, for those of you that don't know what that is, as well as original characters based on Japanese cultural archetypes. Hand-drawn, by the way. You can tell. Hand-drawn art. So you know this game took a long-ass time to make, to have it be like really spot on. And I think that's what takes so long for games to get released. I think people don't realize that it's a lot of hand-drawn art involved in games nowadays. So I think that was one of the things that were really holding them back, is taking up so much time for that. But they have an original score composed, so hopefully no one will get copyright struck.
Yeah, this is the kind of game that could only be an indie game. I feel like indie games are one of the few art mediums where like that hand-drawn art is still even possible. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And appreciated.
You don't see it in AAA games anymore. You don't even see it at the movies anymore, really. All you get is that like CGI, very distinct look. But I love stuff that looks like this.
Thank you for bringing this into my added to wish list. I did not know this existed. And the last article we had was Potion Permit, but we kind of talked about it a lot already. Yeah. The most to say about it comes out September 22nd. Switch and I believe PC as well.
For the first time in probably like 3 years, I'm not playing anything currently, which I know is not helpful to this conversation, but I can't remember the last time I haven't been playing at least like 3 games at once. So it's been kind of nice.
Yay! Happy for you.
Instead, I've been rotting my brain with YouTube videos. I got really addicted to watching this one guy open up old canned food. I don't know why this became like my obsession over the last 5 days, but there's this guy who gets like 50 to 70 year old canned food and opens it and then like tests it for contamination, which like obviously they sealed cans with lead back then. You can't eat it.
Oh.
But like I'm just so fascinated, and it's the same results every time, but I'm very interested.
I have never heard of that before. I'm gonna need you to drop that YouTube link for me because I am very intrigued.
I don't know if anyone else will find this interesting, but like I started watching it and Joe's like, what is wrong with you? But then he stuck around. So like, what does that tell you? That's all I'm saying.
There's an allure. There's an allure to it.
It's strangely addicting.
I can't wait to take a peep at it. I love to look at weird shit on YouTube. That's indeed. Like 90% of my subscriptions.
That's the beauty of YouTube. You can post literally anything. You can open up cans and someone will watch it. So,
yes. Damn. Should we start a can opening channel?
I'm so in.
I have played things, new things. I played, obviously, I already talked about Potion Permit. I played the Kaiju Dating Sim.
I did too.
Did you?
I loved it.
It's so good. I of course I went for Lava Girl.
Is it the demo?
Yes.
Okay. Is it still available?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, highly recommend you give it a shot.
You would love it. It is so cute.
Yes, it is super duper duper cute. And one other thing I played, Town Seek, and it's a demo as well, which I don't fucking know how to describe this game. It's like a clicker, but not like,
okay, keep going.
You have a big map. Like a nice, pretty, stylized cartoon map with different areas. There's like a cat land and there's like a shark area in the ocean. And these are all like anthropomorphic creatures. Like these, all the animals are sentient. And there's a whole bunch of different lands. You are in a big ass blimp and you're just moving around, clicking on shit that appears and crates and collecting items that you turn in for quests, and then you sell other things to, and then you sell things that different areas, the shark land, now they really want this sweater vest, and it's in high demand, so that you'll get extra money for it. And when you get that money, oh, you're selling the key item I need for another quest. Let me buy that. It's like picking up items, selling them back, clicking on shit on the map, visiting little areas. But by visiting, I mean you just literally you fly over it, you click on it, it gives you some flavor text, and then you just keep going. I've never played anything like this. At first I was like, what the fuck is this garbage? And then like an hour went by and I was like, oh, this is not garbage. You can have a bunny blimp.
Oh, this is so cute. Holy shit, I can see why you wanted to play it now.
Yeah, like
I missed this demo.
It's still there. It is there.
Okay, good. All right. Because this has been floating on my Twitter timeline. Oh, best place to like check out indies is definitely like Twitter. Twitter always releases like weird shit.
I didn't know. I'm going to have to ask you for your Twitter recommends. But
look at the whales.
Oh, the whales, yes. And they move positions too. They're not static. So
look at their little smile. Really?
Oh, I love that.
Look at the helper crab.
And you can fish. And there's like a big bee. And there's a dog park. It's called the Good Boy Park.
Of course. It better be.
I love it.
And this is just like a very early demo because, yeah, it says here early 2023. So like, but I recommend giving it a shot. It's so odd, but good. Very good. And very pretty.
It looks very good.
Legend, what have you been playing or what are you looking forward to?
Okay. I played Fight on the Midnight Express, y'all. Ooh, I played it. I don't know if you guys remember that from the Indie Expo, but that was there. I played a bunch of demos actually. So I played Earth Shadow. I didn't like that one. And then Many Pieces of Mr. Koo. That was fun. It was more of like a narrative story, point and click. Mm. A little bit of like dark darkness to it, but it wasn't bad overall as a story. Blunthound, I didn't really like that too much. Aegis Descent, okay? I have to honestly say that plays similar to Neon White. You're in this mech, and it's really weird. I think it's based more on like the 1950s kind of pilot sort of war story, but you're inside this mech and you're just kind of like floating around and doing all these things, but you have these weapons that you can shoot at, and instead of like
I'm watching it.
The life and stuff coming to you, it you have to crash into. It's really weird. It would probably give you guys motion sickness, to be honest with you. But it was really neat how you're inside of a mech and you really feel sort of like you're in there, and the way that you fight was really neat. Spirit in the Mouse was really cute. I really, really, really like that game. Very family friendly, very cutesy bootsy, small little puzzles in there, cute little story. You're just basically like helping people.
Oh
yeah, you're this mouse who, like, something happened and this spirit lost a little bit of its magic and it entered this mouse, and so it's kind of helping this mouse like do its chores for it to help it out. So that was really super cute, very, very kid-like. But the Fight on the Midnight Express was hilarious. Brewmaster was kind of boring. Broken Pieces confused me. King of the Hatch loved The Wandering Village, the one where you get to micromanage those people on top of that dinosaur that moves.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that had a demo.
Yeah, it has a demo. I think it may still be live because he's been playing it a couple of times. He killed all of his villagers the first time.
Oh, yeah, the demo's... Wait, is
yeah. It might be. He actually killed all of his villagers, but now he's able to keep them alive because you have to build like a kitchen for them. Yeah, it's really micromanaging, but it's really cool how the village or whatever, the dinosaur that you're on, you have to keep it alive and it'll stop and it'll take naps and it'll go like you went through like this poison mist. And so the thing got poisoned. And so you have to unlock a... like some type of like doctor's office almost. I forgot what it's called to try to help heal it or it can die. Like it's really kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Hold of the Lamb, of course. I played that. That was fun. Never Awake was very cute. That was kind of like a bullet hell game. This girl's like in this coma, very sad. Oh. And I think she's like, there's someone inside of her trying to like fight whatever to wake her up. I think that's the premise of that story. But it was the beauty, the graphics were really pretty. But it was really sad, sort of the story aligned. I can't get enough of the Fight of the Midnight Express, though. That was fun. You just fight. That's all that you do. Apparently, you're like the sleeper agent, and this drone comes to you and is like, yo, you're just gonna like have to kill all these bad guys in your neighborhood. And you're really going from one place to another, doing some parkour, just fighting and kicking the crap out of people. That's like the entirety of the game.
And you're trying
to like get to this mob boss, and somehow they know about you because when they see you, they're like, oh, babyface. But the premise of it is that you're inside of this like police office and you're being interrogated and you're like, look, guys, I don't have any memory. Here's what happened. And you're just kind of like telling these police what the story is. And then the gameplay is you like, it was like you literally kicked everyone's asses. It was amazing.
That sounds violence and fun.
It was so much. You can pick up things and throw things, and the drone kind of follows you around to give you like hints and clues, and it's really cool.
Is it single player?
It is single player. Okay. It is single player. It is not multiplayer, sadly. I think it would be a lot of fun if you could multiplayer.
Yeah. I love like beating people up together, you know? That's what gaming's all about.
But I think you would really like this. Like this game was, it was really good. The ages, I think our audience, I think the viewers, if they check it out, they would like it. Cause it, you are, you're inside of like this mech and you're fighting these things and it's really cool. There's a few games where you get to be inside of a mech, but this one was very, realistic, I would have to say.
Mm-hmm. I will add to list. It's got the demo still.
I don't know. I found all these during the Steam Fest. Like I jammed out a whole bunch of demos that Sunday, the last day that it was gonna think, because you can never be too careful. Sometimes they keep these demos and sometimes they don't, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the demo is available, but it if you look it up, it is actually a really interesting game. Again, you two might get motion sickness from it. So
it
I would
like be the careful
the movement, available. But it was a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it is still available as of this exact moment that we are recording.
I will download it today and give demo a shot if it does not give me motion sickness.
Sounds like it could be a great time.
Downloading right now.
Oh my God. Real time.
I love how we're just sharing all of the things while we are also playing games and reviewing them and streaming them.
I know. We do so much. Like people don't realize how... Oh my gosh, it's still working, because we have all of our stuff, like you know, we have all of our stuff that we do here for the channel, plus the personal games that we play in, and it's a lot harder to fit all those in. Mm-hmm. It really is, because it's funny, I have to make time to play games while I'm playing games.
See, the funny thing is, I gave up like playing games for fun a long time ago, which is like so sad, but true. Hopefully, you know, if some of the changes we have made on the channel, I think maybe this is something we should mention on the podcast. Well, we have the video editor. He has been fabulous. His edits are looking fantastic. And you, Silent Science, you've come up with the snazzy new thumbnails.
I tried. And
yes, they look great, girl. You didn't just try, you succeeded. And I feel like and y'all can tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I feel like we are focused more on quality rather than quantity.
Absolutely. So we very clearly realized, as like all of us were having a breakdown a couple of weeks ago, that we were doing too much, or at least trying to do too much. So we're trying to keep things a little more simplified, mm-hmm. a little bit less content, but a higher level of quality and better games that are going to be of more interest to everyone who's watching, hopefully.
Yes.
So That's the goal.
I think we are doing things good, but time will tell. But at the very least, you know, we cannot be having mm-hmm. mental breakdowns on a everyday basis.
Yeah, you know, life's hard enough, man. And it's, I mean, I'm sure people know, but we have lives outside of here too, which is insane, but true, you know? So like, there needs to be a balance between stuff that we have to do and stuff that we want to do. So
exactly. Although I want to add on the list of have to do and want to do. Let me show this to y'all. Cause now as I was downloading, as I was downloading demos and adding things to wishes as we're talking, I found this.
Oh
shit, it's not showing. Oh, there we go.
That looks adorable.
I've seen what I need to see and I need this. So
3D pet simulation.
Give it to me now.
It is already out. I will probably get it and inform y'all.
They look like crinkle cut french fries.
Oh my God. You're right.
Or at least some of them did. I guess some of them are just regular french fries. I love them all equally, though.
You know, that the graphics remind me of Harmony's Quest. It's kind of like a 3D puzzle game. I think it would be great on mobile and on Switch, to be honest. But it reminds me of. It reminds me of Harmony's Quest. It's like this weird top-down like puzzle, and you have to kind of move your joysticks. What's that?
Oh, Harmony's Odyssey?
Like, giant ball, and you like eat the stuff.
Hmm.
It kind of reminds me, like, you know, when you're like, you have to roll around and like you pick a scene.
Yes.
It reminds me of
Katamari Damacy.
Yeah, there. That's the one. That's the one. I've heard you and Joe talk about it. It is, the graphics kind of remind me about that too. But yeah, Harmony's Quest is, but the Wobble Dogs, I want that. Like, the design is so simple and it looks like so much fun.
I think we should get it. And I think Legend, if she likes it, should stream it.
I agree.
I would watch the fuck out of that. All right, let us, we've drawn on long, and as we're talking about, we have lives outside of this sometimes.
Well, sometimes, maybe once in a while.
Let's talk about the community poll results. So we asked
if you like difficulty settings in your games.
Ah, yes. I mean, majority, 67%, have said yes, like when there's difficulty options. I mean, I think it's kind of hard for anyone to not like or want that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, some people said if it wasn't the creator of the game's vision that they didn't want it to be forced, which I guess I understand.
Ugh, fuck that shit. Like, fuck the creator and their vision. You know, I feel like as somebody who creates art, right? I write shit sometimes. Like, I don't know what the right thing to do is all the time. I'm just a person. I'm just a meat sack like the rest of us, mm-hmm. you know? Perhaps the rest of us do need to poke at the artist and be like, hey, make options for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what they're saying in the sense that if part of the whole point of the game is that you have to overcome this great obstacle in order to succeed, I get that. But if just the whole point of the game is to be difficult, like, why? Like, to what end? There has to be some sort of payoff for that to be an effective device used in a game. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Okay.
I agree.
We are all in agreement.
I cannot stand a game that does not have difficulty settings. I don't mind it as long as it's not super, super hard, because I don't know what these devs think of. Like, not all of us are pro freaking gamers. Like, I struggle a lot, you know, with the easiest of games. So if you're not going to at least make it enjoyable for me to play it, like, don't even, like, then say that. Be like, hey, you probably not, if you're going to casually play it, don't.
Yeah. Also, like, do it. It's subjective, right? Like, what's hard to me might be really easy to someone
else. That's true, that's true. And
what's easy to someone might be, like, this Mount Everest of a task to me. So, like, you gotta kind of keep it so that anyone can approach it and at least feasibly complete it if you want to have any sort of success in as a game creator, in my very humble opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if you want it to be art, then fuck it, you know, do what you want. Yeah, that's kind of,
but if you want to sell copies, then maybe, like, mm-hmm. make it so more people can play. I don't know.
No, I totally get that. That shows up in the writing land as well. Like, mm-hmm. there's sort of division of, like, literary writing, which is, like, the shit that nobody except snooty people kind of like me read, of, like, these little magazines online. And it's, like, poems and stories that are meant to make your head hurt. And then there's the other side, which is, like, genre writing, which is, like, the fun shit that you just pick up at a bookstore. You're like, let's go for a ride. You know, it's like you can, there can be a middle ground, but that's a hard line to ride there.
There's all sorts of literature, man. I took, when I was in college, I was an English major because of course I was, freaking look at me. But like,
like a cat.
Yeah, exactly. So of course I loved sitting on books, but, I took this class that was like pop culture literature, and we just had this crazy man who I'm pretty sure wasn't even a professor, but he just like showed up and taught the class and we took it, and we would like break down writing in popular culture. Like, our final paper in that class, I don't even know if I can say that. Well, whatever, Joe will just take it out if I can't say it, but he had us write a paper about the word pussy in popular culture, which was like our thesis paper in this course. It was the weirdest but like most productive thing I've ever done, because like I was really able to like break down like how we use these devices in popular culture, and it's like very accessible but also like
can be very meaningful. So I don't know. That
sounds awesome. I want to write a paper about the word pussy.
Highly recommend. Also, I'm a cat, so maybe I'm talking about cats, you know?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yes.
I think it suits the podcast. I think there has to be at least a mention of private parts and underwear at some point.
And periods.
Did y'all know menstruation is Joe enjoys, though. What is it with you guys and underwear? Because underwear is precious.
Yeah, it's
important.
It's a hot commodity.
All right, y'all. I think we have reached the end. So let us offer our farewells. It will not be me because I'm tired of talking.
Farewell, all. Thank you for listening to whatever this becomes eventually. I hope you enjoyed our animal faces. Should we do a face reveal for the end of this?
No. No, we'll surprise them.
We begin and end as animals. They better like it. Ah, I look into my mouth. Circle. Ah.